Now, here we read that we are called to be holy. Now, this matter of holiness among believers is something that is certainly lacking in our day, and it should be declared once again by every God-called preacher and put into practice by everyone who has been born again. May God convict us as His people and challenge us to be holy in all manner of conversation or in every aspect of our life. Since God is holy, we as His children should live holy lives, and when we do, we will be identified as one of His own. We as believers should all want others to see Christ in us and be all that God would have us to be. Now, this matter of being holy doesn't just happen, for we must keep our minds sober and live in the hope of Christ's return. Our minds are to be disciplined and optimistic as we have a hopeful outlook that leads to living godly. Now, Peter isn't giving us some new truth here, for he's referencing what has already been written in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, which says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." Now, I don't know about you, but when I read statements such as these, I think of how woefully I fall short and how much of a gap there is between me and what God would have me to be when it comes to this matter of holiness. When I read Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah the prophet had a vision of the Lord in the temple, sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and the seraphims with six wings crying one to another, "Holy, holy, holy," and with two of those wings they cover their face, I, like the prophet, want to cry out, "Woe is me, for I am undone." It seems to me that holiness on my part is unachievable for such a person as I. It takes all that is within me just to be decent and have a proper testimony. But when I am told to be holy, for I am holy, how in the world could I ever accomplish that insurmountable feat? I think if we understood just what holiness is, these verses will be a help to us, and it'll encourage us to be holy. Notice, if you will, the call to holiness. The call to holiness. Verse 15 says, "As he which hath called you to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." When we read the Bible, it is important that we pay attention to every word of Scripture. Did not Jesus say in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God"? Now, the word called means pretty much what we think it means. It means to call someone, to get their attention, but entails a bit more, for it carries with it the idea of summoning one. And Jesus is calling or summoning us as believers to a life of holiness. I think that the thought here is just as we are called to salvation, are called to follow Him, He calls us to holiness. Now, no one who has ever been saved was saved against their will. And we must be willing to accept Christ's finished work on Calvary's cross if we are to experience that second birth and be born again. Salvation has always been available for whosoever will. Those who have become believers are not forced to follow Christ either. For as we see in the parable of the sower, some have no root, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Yet they received the word, did they not? Yet they were believers, and others were choked with cares and riches and the pleasures of this life. They were also believers. Many will backslide, and plenty refuse to follow the Lord in the paths of righteousness. Now, salvation isn't earned. We simply have to make a decision whether or not we're going to accept God's gift of eternal life by faith or reject it. Yesterday we were out, ran across a guy. And we asked him, you know, Mike was talking to him. He said, well, we're here to talk to you about heaven. And he said, I don't want to go to heaven. And he said, why? He says, because only fools go there. And I thought to myself, you're going to find out who's the real fool really is. But I'm telling you, the world looks at us as God's people as nothing more than fools. We also, as saved folks, need to make a decision on whether we will heed the call to follow Christ or walk with him no more, like those mentioned in John chapter 6. There's decisions we must make concerning Jesus Christ. We are also given a free will, so we must decide if we're going to answer that call to be holy or not. 'Tis certain that you can be saved, forgiven, possess eternal life, have a home in heaven, your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, be indwelt by the Spirit of God, and not answer the call of God to be holy. But is that what you really want? Do you want to live as an unholy believer? Do you want to live a worldly life? Do you really want to face the Lord at the judgment seat, save so as by fire? Living life here with a tainted testimony, not letting your light shine, or being the salt that you're supposed to be? Is it too much for him who died for us, bore our sins in his own body, and was raised from the dead so we could be redeemed? Is it too much for him to ask us to respond positively to the call to be holy? God is calling us. There is a summons from him, and we need to make a decision. Will we answer the call? Will we say, yes, Lord, I will heed the summons to be holy, or will we reject it? When Jesus called those who would become his disciples to follow him, did they not have to make a decision to do so? Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Matthew, did they not all heed the call? And let me tell you, not one of them ever regretted doing so, even though our Lord clearly told them what that call entailed. We as well should decide to follow Jesus. We as well should live the life he intended us to live. We sing to him, I've decided to follow Jesus. But how about making the hymn, take time to be holy, a reality in our life? Yes, God calls us to salvation. He calls us to follow him. In addition to that, he calls us to be holy. Now, all of us should agree that the Lord calls all people to be saved. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That speaks of the rest of salvation, for Jesus offers a full, free, finished salvation to all who come unto him. Now, I don't know about you, but I get a little hot under the collar when I hear people say such nonsense that God has elected some to go to heaven and he elected others to go to hell. And I think, are they just stupid in this matter? Or are they just stupid in all things? Are they just ignorant of what the Scriptures teach? You see, they have embraced the teachings of men and not what the Bible has said. Does not the Bible say in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Does not Romans chapter 10, verse 13 tell us, for whosoever, who what? Soever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then John 3, 16, for God so loved the what? World, that's everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These are but a few verses in the written voice of God that tells us that the Lord wants everybody saved and all should come unto him. He then calls the saved to follow him and into his yoke and be disciples. He does say this in Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my what? Burden is light. You know, I don't know about you, but I've heard some people, some believers say, living the Christian life is hard. Have you ever heard that? Oh, yeah. You know what's hard? It's hard being a believer living in sin. You know, it's hard having that iron yoke of sin and you being in bondage to it. You know, wouldn't you rather stick your head in the yoke with Jesus? And I guarantee he'll do most of the pulling. All you got to do is follow along. And he'll give what? Rest unto your souls. His yoke is light. That iron yoke of sin is heavy. Now the Lord wants all to be saved. All the saved to follow him. And then all the saved to answer the call to be what? Holy. Now this call to be holy is not something I came up with. Aren't you glad? This is what the Lord wants from his people. He wants senior saints to be holy. He wants new believers to answer the call to be holy, for he is holy. You may be wondering, well, just what is holiness? Well, the basic definition of the word holy means to be set apart. We get the word sanctify from the same word. When it is used in the context of Scripture, it means to be a set apart from that which is profane and set apart to that which is pure. This is the point Ezekiel is making in Ezekiel 22, verse 26, when he wrote this about Israel's religious leaders. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. And they put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and clean. God wants believers to be holy. I don't know if you realize this or not, but his chief characteristic is holiness. Today we hear a lot about God's love. And that is mentioned in the Bible 120 times. So it is a lot of scripture that speaks about God as love. But listen to this. 720 times the Bible says God is holy. Now those who preach that God is love, and they preach that all the time, you will not hear them preach that God is holy. Now that's a crying shame. That's almost six more times God is mentioned as being holy than he is the God of love. Now we can't be sinless like God is. But we can be holy. We can be cleansed, forgiven, and separated from sin. We can separate ourselves into that which is holy and separate ourselves from that which is profane. Holiness means to be clean. It means to be pure and righteous. And the word profane, it can be described as sinful, spiritually or morally unclean, or anything else that is contrary to purity or righteousness. Holiness is more than being separated from that which is sinful. It includes being separated to that which is good and that which is godly. So when God says be a holy, that call to holiness is a call to separate from that which displeases the Lord and is contrary to his character, but is also a call to separate to that which pleases him and is in line with his character. Holiness is a theme that runs throughout the Word of God. And we as his people are called to be what? Holy. A holy life is one that is regulated by divine truth and not one lived by the world's standards. What has happened to to so many believers is that they have adopted the world's philosophy and the world's way of doing things. And the result is they live unholy lives. You know, it is amazing to me what the word Christian stands for in today's society. I mean, I am just bamboozled by those who call themselves Christian and the lives that they live. Now, I don't know if they're believers or not, but they sure aren't manifesting any holiness in their life. I mean, it is amazing what comes out of their mouth. It's amazing how they look. It's amazing what they think about. And I am here to tell you, we need to get back to this matter of holiness. What happened to so many believers is they are living in an unholy manner. They don't even seem to know what's the difference between right and wrong anymore. Good or bad, clean and what is unclean. You know, they believe that that is determined by themselves or by the world and not by what the Lord has to say in His Word. Holiness is seeing things as God sees them, loving what God loves, and hating what God hates. Now you may think, well, God doesn't hate anything. Oh, yes, He does. He has a hate list. And this is only part of the things that He mentions that He hates. It's written in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord, what? Hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. Now, when He says abomination, that's really the things that He goes beyond hate. He detests them even more. This, a proud look. A lying tongue. Well, it can't be all that bad. Yes, it is. It's horrendous. Lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Goes on to say, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh what? Boy, he mentioned lies twice in these verses. How many think he doesn't like that? How many think maybe we ought to clean up our language a little bit? And he that soweth discord among the brethren. The Lord hates some things, but He also loves righteousness and purity. It is written in Psalm 11:7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, His countenance doth behold the upright. Now, the upright are those who live by God's word rather than their own ideas. They trust in the Lord at all times, in all their ways, rather than their own ideas, rather than what they think is right or wrong. They are morally straight, people of integrity, for they follow God's truth and not the way of the world. They are honest in all things. When you look up the word holy that is found in verse 16 of our text, it actually is the word for saints. Now, when the Bible talks about saints, it's speaking about those who are born again. And we are holy ones that are set apart for God. As holy ones, we are to heed the call to be holy and separate ourselves to purity and righteousness. In other words, we as saints ought to be living in a saintly manner. So let's ask ourselves, how saintly are we? I'm not talking about putting on some front. I'm not talking about looking the part when we're at church. I'm talking about what's really inside of us that shows up on the outside. How saintly are we in the sight of God? When God refers to us as saints, I believe He does so for two reasons. One is, in His eyes, we belong to Him. We as believers are set apart from the world by our faith in Christ. And number two, we are called saints because of what He desires us to be. Notice, if you will, our pattern for holiness in verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says this, as He which hath called you is holy, So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now we are to pattern our holiness after the Lord's holiness, not somebody else's. We have this call to holiness, but can you and I be holy as God is? No, we cannot be holy to that same degree. You see, God is holy. His holiness is perfect holiness. Newsflash, you and I aren't perfectly in anything. But the Bible does say to be holy as God is holy. It doesn't say that. It says be holy for what? I am holy. That's what it says. Now, so how is it that we are to be holy in the same manner as God is holy? Well, how about being as holy as much as a believer can possibly be? I know I have plenty of room to grow in this area when it comes to being holy. In fact, I don't even think I'm close to being holy as I could be. I know I'm not the only one who needs to work on being holy. All of us saints are to be holy as we possibly can. So let's ask ourselves, is there an area in our life which we can be more holy in? Is there something from which we need to separate from so that we can be more holy? Is there some area in which I can separate myself unto more godliness? We as saints need not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by being holy as we possibly can be. Now, holiness is a personal matter. That means it belongs to you. Your spouse can't do that for you. You can't do it for your spouse. It's a personal thing. And we are to be holy in all manner of conversation. In all means every area of life without exception. We normally use the word conversation as speech or talking. And we all could be more holy in what we say and how we say it. Yet the word conversation is not limited to the words we speak, but actually it means our entire life. From God's point of view, there is no difference between the secular and the spiritual in the life of a believer. This means that I ought to be holy in church and on the job, when I'm having my devotions, and throughout the rest of the day. We are to be holy at home, and we are to be holy when we are out and about. We are to be holy when we're with a crowd, and we are to be holy when we are alone. We're to be holy on Friday and Saturday night, and just as separate as we are on Sunday morning at church. We are to be just as holy on vacation as we are in a Bible conference. Just as holy in the summer as we are in the winter. God wants us to be holy even when we are alone and no one else is around seeing what we are up to. Because God is everywhere, all the time, and He knows all about us and has His eyes upon us every moment of every day. Don't you think that ought to help us to be holy? Yes, we can say with Hagar, "Thou God seest me." And He has a desire for all of His saints to live in a saintly manner. Now, holiness is also progressive. Yes, we're called to be holy today, but don't you think we ought to make improvement on that tomorrow? Why don't we pray, "Lord, make me holy as a pardoned sinner can possibly be"? Holiness is always progressive, and this is a necessary area in one's spiritual growth. Then lastly, we see the command to be holy. Verse 16 of 1 Peter reads, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, how many think that's a command? Amen. That's exactly what it is. Since God is holy, we as His children are to be holy as well. Now, how many guys here are married? Raise your hand. All right. Now, how many of your wives knew your father somewhat? If you're married, when he was alive, the wives knew your father. All right? Now, have any of your wives called you by your father's name? Mine does. Sometimes she'll call me James Gilbert. Yeah. You say, why does she do that? Because I'm acting like my father. Or sometimes she'll say, you're just like your dad. Has that ever happened to any of you guys? All right. You got a good example, Jake. I'm sure that's a compliment every time she says that. But anyways, what are they saying? You got some of the same characteristics as your father does. Whether they usually don't say that when you're manifesting the good stuff about your father. It's only when you're doing the bad things your father used to do that they remind you that you're just like your dad. But wouldn't it be nice if we were more like our Father in heaven? And you know, how can that be? Well, we can be holy, what? As he is holy. I read a story about a Christian girl. She loved her Lord and she loved her family. Well, at one point in her life, she goes to college. And she began to date a guy who was not committed to Christ as he should have been. Even though he was born again, he was worldly and rather carnal. They began to spend a lot of time together. And one night, her parents were out of town and the house would be empty. Her and her boyfriend were out on a date that night, and he kept pressing her that they should go back to her house where they could be alone. Finally, she told him, I'm not going to do that. And he said, why not? Are you afraid of what your daddy will do if he finds out? She said, I'm not afraid of what my daddy will do if he gets wind of what you want to do to me when we're all alone, but I'm afraid what it will do to him. In our life as believers, do we ever stop and think about what we say? About what we're about to get involved in? Who we are with or where we're about to go? And then contemplate, what is this going to do to our Heavenly Father? Will it grieve him? Will it disappoint him? And will it hurt him to see us be unholy? So just what are you going to decide about this call? This command to be holy? Are you going to answer the call? Will you obey this command? He's called you to salvation. He's called you to follow him. But he's also calling you to be holy. It would be unwise to ignore any of his calls. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Holiness. It truly is something we as God's people ought to be known for.